Right now, Americans are preparing to head to the polls. The US midterm elections begin on Tuesday, with some analysts calling it one of the most important elections in US history. President Trump isn't personally up for re-election, but the quality of his leadership will be front of mind as Americans cast their votes. And he's been campaigning hard.
In every city and town all across our land, we are going to work, we are going to fight, and we are going to win, win, win.
North Carolina native and political scientist Dr. Jennifer Hunt from the ANU is with us now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you so much.
Voters will head to the polls from Tuesday. How hotly contested is this race, and what's the atmosphere like in the US right now?
Well, this is a hotly contested midterm. There have already been 34 million votes cast in early voting. They expect to have record turnout for this midterm. And the mood is, at least in North Carolina, where I am, which is a swing state, a little bit nervous. There's some very tight races. It's neck and neck polling, depending on predictions for either a Republican or Democratic control of Congress. And that is really what a lot of people are looking at. The entire House of Reps is open for re-election, a third of the Senate, 34 governor positions, as well as lots of state and local positions. So this is a very big set of races around the country.
You're in North Carolina, which is a swing state. Can you talk us through some of the tighter races?
There are not as many tight races in North Carolina at the state level, since we don't have some of the higher level positions at the moment, for instance, governor. Some of the tighter races are in other states, like Texas, between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. There's an extremely tight race in Georgia, a couple of states over from North Carolina, for the governorship between Kemp and Abrams. And there's some really unprecedented activities that are happening around some of these tighter races. For instance, in that Georgia race I mentioned, the official who's actually in charge of the election is on the ballot himself for the governor's position. So he is running in a race that he is technically overseeing. And there have been some activities around purging voters from the rolls, closing 214 polling places. There's a lot of controversy around some of these tighter races.
Control of Congress is up for grabs, right? What's at stake here?
Congress is up for grabs in that every seat in the House is up for re-election in their two-year terms. And the House is really where the power of the purse lies in terms of budgets and also in terms of key support for the president's agenda. The Democrats have already promised that they will be opening investigations into Trump's activities. He's been in office, some of his conflicts of interest. And so that is the kind of activity that you can expect that a Republican Congress would not engage in. So this seems to be a referendum on the president's words, acts, and behaviors during his first 2 years in term.
How high do you expect the turnout will be? Because in the US, of course, you don't have compulsory voting like we do in Australia.
That's true. And we don't have sausage sizzles, right? So we have a lower turnout in midterms, even relative to presidential years. Now, when I gave a briefing at Parliament a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that's one of the things to look out for in this midterm. One of the trends is that I expect to see record turnout for a midterm. You have certain states that have already surpassed in the early voting term their entire ballot count, for instance, Texas. And so you already see an uptick of millennial voters, which are ages 18 to 36. And you see a lot of turnout in these states that do allow early voting. Now, keep in mind, given the number of ballots cast, that not all states have early voting at all. So Missouri does not have early voting. All 3.2 million people will be headed to the polls on the same day tomorrow, Tuesday.
Are these midterms being seen as a kind of referendum on President Trump, like you just mentioned, and also his performance?
I think this is not only a referendum on Trump, but also the leaders in Congress. So Congress is expected to be a check on the executive, no matter who is in office. And that doesn't appear to have happened in this particular Congress with this particular president. They have largely supported his agenda, even his more controversial executive orders around the Muslim ban, about sending troops to the border. And so I remember listening to an interview yesterday with Captain Sullenberger, Sully, the pilot who's famed for landing a passenger jet safely on the Hudson River. And he said Congress is not fulfilling his oath of office. And as a lifelong Republican, he advocated for everyone to vote straight Democratic ticket for that check and balance, right? In a healthy economy, you have these divided branches of government. And so it's not only a referendum on Trump, but also the Republican Party and how they have treated the introduction of Trump and his agenda into their party.
What have been the key issues in the lead up to the midterms? I've certainly noticed immigration has been a big theme. Has that been the biggest one?
I think it's healthcare. A lot of the ads that you're seeing on television are based solely around healthcare. This is an issue that impacts everyone around the country. You had a vote in the House to repeal the Affordable Care Act. It passed in the House. It would have passed in the Senate if not for one vote. And so people really feel that vulnerability around their health care. And you see a lot of ads that are based around maintaining those protections for pre-existing conditions. I think the Republican Party would like to direct the conversation toward immigration and law and order and those other issues. But if you look at what people are talking about, when you look at the ads, when you do surveys and polls, this is about healthcare as well.
And what does campaigning look like in the lead up to the crucial vote? It's been a really intense campaign, hasn't it?
Yes, intense is actually an excellent word. I have seen some tactics in this election that are pretty unusual. Not only do you have states sort of changing electoral processes without federal oversight, which has been allowed since the Supreme Court struck down parts of the Voting Rights Act, which means that any states that wanted to make changes to early voting or polling places could do so without federal oversight. You also see some of these campaigns using unprecedented tactics as well. For instance, I just got a brochure today in my voting district addressed directly to me that said your voting history is public record. This chart shows your voting record and the voting record of some of your neighbors. And there they have listed people in my neighborhood by name, including me, and whether they voted in the last few elections. And this was paid for by the Republican Party of my state. And this is a level of shame and intimidation that I don't remember seeing in previous elections. And it's definitely been an uptick of negative ads, and negative ads that aren't focused on policy. Part of that's to do with we have a huge diverse candidate of newcomers to the races. This is the year of the newcomer for some of these races. Women, people of color, naturalized, immigrants, doctors, scientists, veterans, running as first-time candidates. And so their incumbent opponents don't have a voting record they can point to. And so they're just instead being labeled as extremists. And I've seen this cookie cutter ad going out a lot, that the Democratic challengers who are newcomers on the ballot are just being called extremists and nothing about policy or engagement. And of course, those negative ads are having an impact on both sides. But given the tenor that already exists in the United States, Donald Trump in one of his closeout rallies said that a vote for a blue wave is a vote for a crime wave. So you're seeing a lot of this heightened rhetoric come from the top and trickle its way down.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because some people have said actually the advertisements themselves have even been racist. They've referred to illegal immigration in some pretty extreme language. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. I think this behavior has become normalized and accepted through example and leadership at the top. I just saw a tweet today from Brian Kemp, that Georgia gubernatorial candidate, that has accused his challenger of trying to get illegal immigrants to vote, of being supported by the Black Panther Party. Duncan Hunter is running in California. His opponent is Muslim, and he's called him a national security threat. So you do see a lot of this very heightened language. It's not even partisan. You're right. It's crossing that line into racism, nativism, Islamophobia. And again, that message comes from the top. Some of the people that are using this language have been made to feel that the Republican Party is open to using this type of language in these ads, whereas before they would have, I think, restrained themselves. But now we see by example that these tactics work.
Australian voters are possibly puzzled by the fact that these midterm elections are being held on a weekday. Of course, we like a Saturday election here. Why are they held on a Tuesday and what impact does that have?
The first Tuesday in November for voting is actually enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. And it was picked because it is after the harvest that happens in October. And you're expected, or you're at least allowed, to attend religious services on a Sunday. Then you needed a day of travel on Monday. So Tuesday was really the first opportunity that people had to get to the polls, and this was an advantageous time of year for rural farmers. Remember, this was written in the 18th century, and it made a little bit more sense then than it does now. Employers have to give their employees time off to go to the polls. 27 states have initiatives that these employees need to be paid for 3 hours, I think is the maximum. But other states don't have that. If you're a casual hourly worker, you might be taking that day off to go to the polls. And like I mentioned, some states don't have early voting. Some states don't have mail-in ballots. And so with these very long lines on Tuesday, that could constitute a significant chunk of your workday.
Pretty incredible stuff. Thank you so much for sharing your insights tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
North Carolina native and political scientist Dr. Jennifer Hunt from the ANU. Will you be watching the polls in the US tomorrow? We will be covering it extensively tomorrow night, I promise you. Coming up very shortly, The Drawing Room.